I'm delighted now to welcome Alina Scheim. She is the Executive Director of Impact Personal Safety. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
So Impact Personal Safety is an organization that's been around for a while, and we've talked to various people from it. You've now been there for a couple of years, and it's changed a little bit over the years. What is Impact all about, first of all?
Well, Impact's mission is we're a nonprofit, and we empower children and adults by teaching them to prevent and defend themselves against verbal, physical, and sexual violence. And I've been involved with the organization for about 6 years since I took my first class. And in the past couple of years, we've been expanding to better work with the schools. One of the pieces that we've always been doing has been this experiential self-defense class that covers all aspects of self-defense, awareness, verbal, and physical. And one of the pieces that we've expanded to do just a little bit more deliberately is work with the schools so that we can really be working in prevention. Because we know that as lovely as our courses have always been, doing a four-hour course with a school is very difficult when they're limited in time, money, how many students can fit into a classroom and how that works with experiential classes. And so we've really done expansion of our classes under that same mission, but with an ability to really better address schools' needs.
There have been a number of cases that have made it into the newspaper, and probably many more that haven't in recent years, where a little girl or a little boy going to school is in real danger of being abducted. Mm-hmm. Defends him or herself, runs away, whips their hand away, whatever it takes, goes to school. Of course, it's traumatic for them, but they didn't get abducted. And this has, to me, the imprint of Impact Personal Safety on it.
Mm-hmm. The Center for Missing and Exploited Children, there was a study that was recently published in the Washington Post not more than 2 months ago. And they actually did a study of attempted and completed child abductions by strangers, which is very much the minority of the kinds of abductions that happen with children. And they actually found that nationally, it's just a little over 100 children are abducted a year. And that's by strangers. And so that's a really interesting statistic to me with the amount of fear that we have of strangers in this culture.
Yeah.
And to then look at, you know, this is one of the very least things that you should be afraid of as a parent or as a concerned adult. The other piece that they showed, actually, the headline of that article was children are their best defense. They're their own best defense. Because in the vast majority of cases, the children were actually able to stop what had happened by screaming, by getting somebody else's attention, and very rarely by any sort of physical technique. Usually it was one of the other things, and the person went running.
In those rare cases, and we don't want to dwell on them because mm-hmm. they are such a minority, but mm-hmm. in Santa Fe, had those children been through the Impact courses?
The one that had, one that actually didn't make the news so much had taken the class as a 7-year-old, and she was in the park with her babysitter, and her babysitter was a little distance away, and a man tried to abduct her. He tried to pick her up, and she immediately started screaming and knocked him with her scooter, and he immediately dropped her and went running away. She didn't have to do hardly anything. The babysitter came. They made a police report, and it was interesting to talk with the parents who obviously had signed her up for this children's class with us a while back, said it was harder for them than it was for her. And for the way that the dad described it, which I thought was really great, is he described it as a near miss. It was like driving down the street and, you know, you almost get in a car accident. And you think about it, you know, you think about it for a day or so. You might tell your friends what happened, but it's not that accident that could affect your life forever. And so that's what we want for our kids. We want those near misses if something's going to happen.
And as we've discussed with Impact people in the past, when you, as the potential victim, actually do the action that saves yourself and nothing really happens to you, you have the kind of psychological reaction of having won.
Mm-hmm.
And when you feel that you've won, you're not nearly as traumatized, if at all.
Right. You have that different story. One of the pieces, you know, brain science is getting very, very popular these days. And one of the pieces that we've been looking at is there's brain science that talks about trauma nowadays. And trauma happens when you're adrenalized, when there's an experience of fear or danger, and you feel powerless and helpless. And naturally, it gets into the body in this very deep level that can take years to resolve. And we know it can affect all aspects of your life. And now, the same thing is actually true if you're adrenalized and have a successful experience, whether it's a simulated experience in our class or in real life, where you have that successful experience. Because of that adrenaline, it goes in just as deep. So that's actually, I love that science, because when I teach classes and I see the transformation in students and I hear the stories afterwards of them suddenly, you know, changing their job situation and all these things that aren't really technically related to self-defense, it's interesting to see, oh, it's because of that deep sense of empowerment, just like the way trauma can be that deep. If the empowerment is that deep, it can have just as huge effects. So that success in real life is amazing.
So basically, in a situation where you're adrenalized and you win, mm-hmm. that produces a kind of sense of empowerment that filters out into other areas of your life.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So how do the different courses work? You do the course that I did years ago after, in my case, sort of semi-traumatic incident myself, was, what, it was 20 hours? It went over a couple of weekends, and it was heavy duty. I mean, you have to basically learn modified martial arts moves and hit a man wearing a padded outfit so that you don't actually hurt the guy, but hit him as hard as you can in all these different ways. Tell us more about, I mean, that's a thumbnail, but tell us more about that course.
So we are now calling those courses experiential courses because you have the experience of actually taking care of yourself in a threatening or dangerous moment. And so in that course, we have someone like me who teaches the class, who leads the majority of the information that students are going to learn, demos it, and then walk students through the step-by-step skills that then they practice in scenarios that I then coach them through. I'm there the whole time. And then we have another instructor who does a lot of what I do, as well as plays the role of either somebody crossing a verbal boundary or somebody actually physically assaulting them. And what we do is, as you said, they're in this padded suit, they're in this padded armor, so that they're protected physically so that students can hit full force. And they're also trained to recreate common threatening and assault situations. So what's great about that is there's been years and years of research that have gone into the techniques that will actually make an assailant leave verbally after a verbal defense or be hurt or leave physically. And so they don't go away unless... That's one of the things that I hear people say is when they see a graduation or they see a video is, oh, well, he's just letting go. They don't let go unless you actually make them let go, which I think is great because a lot of us have never had the experience of needing to defend ourselves verbally or physically or haven't done it in a way that we felt good about afterwards. And so to have that experience that all this research has gone into of, oh, this is exactly what I need. This is what I need, and it will be effective. Or, you know, I'll use this strategy, and if this doesn't work, I'll use this strategy. There's a plan. It's not this lingering what-if question that I think follows a lot of people around every day. It's, oh, if this happened, I could do this, or this, or this, and I know that.
And having that as a tool at your disposal makes one... I've often wondered what it would be like, I mean, for me as a woman, what would it be like to be a 6'4", 250-pound strong man walking around in my skin in the world. And you're not going to get that from impact as a fairly small woman or somebody who's not that strong, but you get something more than what you came in with.
And one of the pieces, it's interesting that you say that because we're actually teaching our Personal Safety 101, which is a seminar, a one-hour seminar that we're able to do for any group at no cost. And we're teaching that for the entire Española school district.
Wow.
For all of their teachers and all of their middle school and high school students. And what's interesting about that is actually the experience of teaching men, and sometimes men that, you know, for someone who's a smaller woman, our experience is rather different around safety. But to talk with the young men, especially in those classes, who are suddenly going from children to being these feared people, or to those people that suddenly, you know, one of the pieces we talk about is making eye contact as a way of showing people that you're confident as you walk down the road to avoid being perceived as an easy target. What's interesting for a lot of those people that fit kind of a different category than I would, for example, is that they have to think about, okay, I need to make eye contact, but I can't make too much eye contact because if I do, people perceive it as a challenge.
Right.
And then suddenly I have to talk my way out of a fight.
Right.
Or what, you know, and I say fight in quotation marks because really, you know, I think that this is this piece that there's so much violence in our communities, and we talk about fights as though both people want to be there. And the fact is that most of the time, one person doesn't want to be there. And I like to compare it to sexual assault and rape, because if, you know, if in sex, one person doesn't want to be there, it's now sexual assault or rape. If in a fight, one person doesn't want to be there, it's not a fight that two people have agreed to. It's a physical assault.
It's assault, yeah.
And we need to treat it like that for our young people and for our men, because the fact is that, interestingly, forcible rape is only 6% of violent crimes in the United States. 60% is actually a physical assault. And so this is a huge issue that, you know, I got into this work because of women. I as a woman had my own experiences before the class that made me want to take the class in the first place. And I was working at Esperanza Shelter before I came to Impact. But it's very interesting as I do the work more to hear all these men going, we need this.
Yeah.
We need this. Just because I'm big doesn't mean I'm not facing other things.
So what are some of the other programs that you offer for the community?
So we have basically the experiential class structure, and we have a 4-hour class for teens and adults, 20 hours like you took, and then a 6-hour class for children, 6 to 12.
Now, the 6-hour class for children 6 to 12 happens over a number of days.
Yeah, it's usually over 2 days, broken up into 3-hour segments so that we can reinforce the concepts and teach different concepts. Exactly. And it's very, very different than our teen and adult classes. I think that's important to emphasize, that we don't talk about scary things with children. You don't need to. You can teach them these concepts without having to talk about the bad things in the world, just to stay safe. And then we have our seminar structure, which is an hour long. And they're basically formed through conversations with the school district, with Santa Fe Public Schools, as well as the fact that I came from Esperanza, where the same people that I was helping a few days before, once I got to Impact, you know, I had to face the fact that if someone had been assaulted the night before or had just left their spouse that was abusing them, it's not a good idea for them to be in a recreated assault situation a week later.
Right.
And so it was heartbreaking for me to have to turn them away, even though I was referring them to Esperanza and referring them to Rape Crisis, which is now Solace. So it was very exciting for me to come to this realization of, oh, by doing these 1-hour segments, we can work with people who have small amounts of time, like the schools, a lot better. And we can help people who maybe wouldn't be ready for the experiential class, but need something to help shift their perspective and to start feeling stronger.
So in a seminar situation, it's basically talk and demonstration?
Mm-hmm. And as well as interactive pieces for them. So in our Personal Safety 101, we teach basically what an assailant is looking for and how to avoid being that target statistically by teaching awareness skills, body language. So for people who have taken the class, that's the awareness stance and ready stance, as well as how to use one's voice to prevent or stop an assault. There's also a small segment of media literacy that we do in that class, because the fact is, even if somebody hasn't experienced violence in the past, we've seen so many images in the media and on the news where it looks like if somebody tries to target you, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's good for people to start seeing images and start seeing it so that it's actually possible. We actually talked with a woman who, after one of those sessions, someone broke into her house. And she was surprised, and upset about it, but she immediately went into the ready stance that she'd learned in the class and used a very strong, assertive voice to tell him to leave, and he left.
Wow.
And so that's
that
just...
That was good timing.
Yeah, it was great. I was so pleased that we could do that, and it's astounding for those of us who have done the 20-hour program to think, just in 1 hour, to think that it's possible to do this, will make it more likely that someone will actually take care of themselves in the way they need to.
We're talking to Alina Scheim of Impact Personal Safety. One of the seminars that you teach is called Motivations of Violence. And I've been thinking about that because just yesterday, the day before, we had Richard Rhodes on the air talking about the history of the atomic bomb and how at the very, very end of the book, he talks about how violence is rooted in a kind of profound helplessness. And I wondered, and I've just been thinking about that, because when you think about the level of violence inherent in not even nuclear war, but any war or any kind of mass brutality, it's almost inconceivable to people who have never been through that. What do you teach in Motivations of Violence?
What we teach is the relationship between power and violence and oppression and violence. And so if we look at, you know, obviously hate crime legislation that has made a widespread impact across the United States. But if you look at all violent crime, generally there is some sort of piece that we talk about in the social justice movement, at least, around race, class, gender, sexuality. And so, you know, oftentimes the news media will talk about random acts of violence, but the fact is, it's not usually random. It's usually based in one of these factors, which is really related to what the person you interviewed the other day talked about, is, you know, if somebody feels helpless, which I think we all do at some point or another, they're going to try to get one up on another person. It's just natural. It's a way of finding power. If you can't find power within yourself, you try to find it in power in the social structure. And there's this awful and great resource, as far as social structure goes, that already exists, that says these people are above other people, these people are lesser than. And so if you can start, you know, the ways that we see that in schools is by people using language as a way of hurting other people. You know, we have bullying, we have specifically gay bullying, you know, there's all these pieces that, you know, I just taught with the Gay Straight Alliance the other week. I taught this curriculum, and I asked them, what do you do when somebody says gay or fag in an insulting way, as a way of insulting someone? And I expected that they would say, oh, well, I tell them how hurt I feel or how offended I am because I'm gay or because my friend's gay. And they said, oh, it's not a big deal. I don't do anything. And it's interesting because these are kids who right now are very upset, very concerned about the suicides that have been happening and about the, you know, about the right to marry and all these pieces.
And, you know, I have to say, Dan Savage, who has a syndicated column that is in The Reporter, among many other places, has been doing a wonderful job on that, covering that issue.
And I think so many, I just came from the Coordinated Community Response Council meeting, and, you know, their focus was on this at this quarterly meeting. And there's so many people who are looking at it and really concerned and really compassionate, and I love that. It's great to see.
Now, what is the psychology of people who are bullying gay people? Okay, so it's the gay teenage boy, let's say, who is the powerless one in the situation. What's the psychology of the person who's bullying the powerless kid?
Well, I think an important piece, we're working actually a lot more with the juvenile justice system and people either who have offended or are at risk of offending. And I think it's really important to work with them, because if you start working with them, you realize 99.9% of them have already been assaulted themselves or been abused themselves. And so if you look at that, they're trying to heal from that. And unfortunately, violence is a very misguided way of trying to heal from that. Insulting others is a very misguided way of trying to somehow feel whole yourself again.
But that is the underlying mechanism that's going on in their minds.
And, you know, I think it's very tricky. It's very hard to feel that compassion and also hold them accountable at the same time. And I think that's our task as a community. And why we're working with them specifically is to help them understand what they're doing, but also to help them feel safe again so that they don't have to do that in order to feel safe.
Alina Scheim is the executive director of Impact Personal Safety. She's also an instructor. Just quickly, what classes do you have coming up that people might want to sign up for?
For the public, we have a women's basics class, which is the one you took. That will be the first 2 weekends of November, Saturdays and Sundays. We'll have a 4-hour class in January for teens and adults, as well as a kids class in January for teens and adults. And we also will have that Personal Safety 101, the free class, at the Genevieve Chavez Center, I think at the end of the month. I'm not the one teaching it, but I think it's at the end of the month, and you can call them for info.
And for more information about classes, you can call 505-992-8833. You can also look at impactpersonalsafety.org, and you can also find them on Facebook. So, Alina, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. And my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and then jazz.